Morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, all of you who are here in person and those of you who are joining us online. We've got a few announcements this morning, just a couple of updates on our members. Paul Conrad is home. He and Carolina are doing well. They are recovering and are still weak, but they are home and they are together again. The hardest part about the last week for them has been being apart from one another, so they are reunited. Bonnie Hedrick is in the hospital. They're not quite sure what's going on. They're trying to run a battery of tests to figure out what all is going on. The family asks that you hold Bonnie in prayer. There are new Word in Season devotionals, both by the front doors and by the glass doors. So if you'd like the new devotionals for October, November, and December, please pick those up on your way out. The grief group has started and is up and running, and so we will be meeting tomorrow afternoon in the fellowship hall from 4:30 to 6, and we will have our first session looking at our book, The Grief Group, the group that nobody ever wanted to be a part of. I will be on vacation this week, starting Tuesday and going through the next Monday. If you have any questions, concerns, etc., please reach out to our council president, Neil Clark. If there is an emergency of some kind, he will reach out and let me know so that we can figure out what to do and go from there. Next Sunday, we will be doing a service of the word, and North Carolina candidate for ordination, Heather Bockhelder, will be here preaching for us. So she did her internship last year at Epiphany Lutheran Church in Winston-Salem. She is now waiting on a call, and she is delighted to be here next Sunday to offer God's word to us. Today is a really special Sunday. Maddie Everhart will be baptized. The fellowship committee has generously provided a reception. I think everything is outdoors. It's in the fellowship hall now. Okay, I saw a table outside earlier. So it'll be in the fellowship hall. They've got cupcakes, and so please join the family to congratulate them and celebrate with them after worship. We've got a few birthdays this week. Sawyer Nelson, Anna Carter, Maddie Everhart, Dean Conrad, and Tammy Turner. And this week, Todd and Amy Kepley have an anniversary, and Greg and Gyla Kepley have an anniversary. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And one final announcement. Before we know it, All Saints Sunday will be here. Hopefully you saw this in the newsletter. It's posted around. But on All Saints Sunday, we will be remembering and honoring our loved ones, including church members, but also friends and family who have died in the past year. So if you would like the name of a loved one to be read aloud on All Saints Sunday and have us light a candle in their memory, please submit their name, birth date, and death date to the office by the end of this month. So keep this in mind. There'll be more reminders, but be thinking about if you want to share any names with us to be read aloud on All Saints Sunday. Let us now prepare our hearts. Thank you very much. I'm honored. So this is Pastor Appreciation Month and Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and David has presented this to me on behalf of all of you. Thank you very much. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. As you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, who is eager to forgive and loves us beyond all our days. Amen. Dear friends, let us together confess our failure to love this world as Jesus does. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that sin still has a hold on us. We have harmed your good creation. We have failed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Turn us in a new direction. Show us the path that leads to life. Be our refuge and strength on the journey. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend. Amen. Beloved of God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven and you are made whole. God points the new way to life in Christ, who meets us on the road. Journey now in God's abiding love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us to do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The psalm for today is Psalm 111. Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Great are your works, O Lord. Majesty and splendor mark your deeds.
And your righteousness endures forever.
You cause your wonders to be remembered.
You are gracious and full of compassion.
You give food to those who fear you.
Remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown your people the power of your works.
In giving them the lands of the nations.
The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. They stand fast forever and ever.
Because they are done in truth and equity.
You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All your practices have been good understanding. God's praise endures forever.
The New Testament lesson is from 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And he began praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And maybe my confirmands can come too. Did you know I was going to ask you that? Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Calvin. Hi, Maddie. Hi, Maddie. And I think these are Maddie's cousins coming. That's okay, I understand. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're all doing okay. Well, I wanted to talk to you about a kind of a churchy word that we use, mercy. You know, sometimes when you all come up here, we talk about some of the different things we do in worship and why. Like one Sunday, we talked about why do we stand up when we read the gospel? It's because we recognize that Jesus is present in the reading of the gospel, and so we stand to honor and give respect to Jesus. Well, one of the things that I have been wanting to talk to you guys about is why do we sing the Kyrie? And why is it even called the Kyrie? And it all relates back to that churchy word, mercy. So in the gospel lesson this morning, the men who came to Jesus cried out, "Lord, Master, have mercy on us." And although we say that word a lot in church and we sing it a lot, although when we do the Kyrie eleison, we sing it in Latin, but eleison is mercy, it's kind of hard to define and we don't exactly know how to do that. Well, God is merciful. We believe that to be true, but this is what mercy means in Scripture, and as it relates to who God is and the way that God acts in the world. Mercy is steadfast love and kindness and God's generosity and God's compassion and God's faithfulness and God's loyalty. And I think part of the reason that we have such a hard time defining mercy and talking about it is because it's such a big concept that we can't just put it into a few words. But if I had to put it into a few words, I would say that mercy is completely undeserved kindness and God's tender-hearted compassion. And still, in just a few words, that's a big concept. But I especially wanted to talk about it because those lepers ask God for mercy today, and every Sunday we sing the Kyrie. So Kyrie means Lord, and eleison means mercy. So every time we sing Kyrie eleison, we're asking God to have mercy. And partly why we're singing the Kyrie version that we are is because all of the different things that we're asking God to have mercy on, I think are some of the most significant things in our everyday lives. We ask God to have mercy on our friends and our family. We ask God to have mercy on our praying and our playing. We ask God to have mercy on the world. And we ask God to show us mercy and to use us to show God's mercy to the world. And so because those lepers were asking God for mercy today, I thought this might be a good day to talk a little bit about mercy. What it is, it's God's kindness and boundless, tender-hearted compassion. And so, one, we sing that and pray that on Sunday, but you can pray this any time of the week. God, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. And even though we may not fully understand what mercy is and we can't necessarily describe it or talk about it that clearly, God knows. And I think that's a very faithful prayer that God would love to answer. Do you have any questions about mercy? No? Then let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. Thank you for our church. Thank you for your mercy, which is your tender-hearted compassion. And even though we don't fully understand it, we thank you that you give it to us anyway. Help us to show your mercy to ourselves, others, and the world. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, I was walking up and down the aisles at the grocery store, one of my favorite things to do, thinking about food and imagining all of the different things that I can cook and eat. And I saw a display filled with all these different ingredients for our favorite Thanksgiving Day foods. Canned pumpkin, cream of mushroom soup, those crispy French onions you sprinkle on the top of green bean casserole, herb stuffing mix. I love Thanksgiving Day. I love the rituals that surround that day. Watching the parade, cooking together with my mom, sharing a delicious meal together, putting a puzzle together. I really enjoy Thanksgiving Day. But I have to confess, I've never really understood Thanksgiving Day from a Christian perspective. Right? It kind of puzzles me when we talk about setting aside a day to give thanks. Because aren't we called to give thanks every day? Most people, myself included, don't spend the day giving thanks on Thanksgiving Day. I'm really not that much more thankful on Thanksgiving Day than I am any other day. We might pray a prayer of thanksgiving before our meal. Maybe some of us even go around the table and share some things that we're thankful for. But being thankful, this kind of behavior shouldn't be the exception for Christians. We shouldn't have to set a day aside for it just once a year. Because giving thanks to God is what our whole lives should look like. So in today's gospel lesson, Jesus encounters from a distance 10 lepers, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And here are not just 10 lepers, but 10 souls, 10 human beings, 10 people created in the image of God, walking at a distance from the main road as they were bound to do so by law because of their condition. Leprosy at the time of Jesus was a greatly feared disease. It separated and removed completely people from their friends and their family and their life as they once knew it. And so here we encounter 10 people who lived with the pain of isolation and alienation from the world. And when they pleaded with Jesus for mercy, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. This is another way of saying that they were cured. Through Christ, God had cured them, and Jesus sent them on their way to show themselves to the priests. Again, by Jewish law, the priests could verify that they were cured and that they could rejoin their families and society. As they were on their way, one of the men, who was also a Samaritan, who were arch enemies of the Jews, turned back and gave thanks to Jesus. Now, much has been written and said about the other 9, but I think it's important to note that they were just simply doing what Jesus had asked them to do, right? They weren't necessarily doing anything wrong. But this Samaritan, this double outcast because of his leprosy and outcast because he was a foreigner, he came back and praised God. And Jesus told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Some other translations say that your faith has made you whole. And I think that this is a better and more faithful translation of what Jesus is really trying to communicate. Wholeness, you see, is more than just a physical cure. It emerges from an intimate relationship with our healing God. As such, even those who aren't cured physically can be healed and can be made whole. They can experience peace in the midst of pain and healing and wholeness in the midst of an incurable disease. This man, this Samaritan, when he saw that he was cured, he returned to Jesus and praised him by giving thanks. As he was on his way with the other nine, doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do, he was able to see the work of God in his life, to see what God had done and was doing, and his response was overwhelming gratitude. And this man was made whole. Are we living our lives busy trying to be faithful, trying to do what Jesus has told us to do? And in the midst of all of that, are we able to see what God has done and what God is doing? Several years ago, I lived for a few months with a family that had young children. Every night around the dinner table, we all went around from youngest to oldest, and we shared our roses and our thorns. Roses are the good parts of our day, the things that we were grateful for, and thorns were the tougher things that happened in our day. And then once we shared our thorns, we talked about how God was at work even in the tough and hard parts of our day. These children, from a very young age, were being taught to see all of lives through a lens of gratitude, so that when they sat down to dinner every night, they could easily recount to God what they were thankful for. They were also being taught to see God at work in the challenges and harder moments of life. You see, this kind of way of seeing, it doesn't come naturally to us humans, because in our sinfulness and our brokenness, we are prone to ingratitude. We are prone to complaining. We are prone to feeling entitled. We are prone to self-sufficiency. But the truth is, all we have is a gift from God. And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see this truth and eyes to see the presence and work of God in our lives. So you see, responding to God with gratitude, giving God thanks, isn't something that we're called to do once in a while or one day out of the year. It's a foundational part of our lives that we are called to do in all times and in all places. It's interesting, in the last few years, there have been significant research and studies on how practicing gratitude is good for your health, physically and emotionally. How performing simple gratitude exercises like writing in a gratitude journal or writing letters of thanks can bring about more happiness, it can bring about more gratitude, it can bring about many, many benefits. And you see, as Christians, we don't give thanks so that we can get more blessings, because one, God doesn't operate that way. But we are grateful because all we have received is an endless gift of God's grace and God's mercy. The Psalms are filled with constant calls to give thanks and praise to God, to come before God with thanksgiving. Like in today's psalm, I will give thanks to God with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. The Lord is gracious and merciful. This is a common model in Scripture for giving thanks, where we tell back to God who God is and what God has done. God is merciful. God is gracious. Wonderful are your works. It's what we do each week in the Great Thanksgiving when we come to the table. We give God thanks for creation, for the history of salvation, for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, for the food on the table, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It all begins with the pastor saying, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And you all respond, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." And then I say, "It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to God through our Savior Jesus Christ, who..." And then we go on to tell back to God what God has done by showing our thanksgiving. And what we do here on Sunday is meant to be the pattern for our whole lives. Maybe for you, it's looking for roses and thorns in your day. Maybe it looks like sharing a gratitude journal. Maybe it means that you just take the time to pray before your meal and give thanks to God for the food that you're about to eat and the other blessings in your life. There are many practical and tangible ways to incorporate more seeing and more thanksgiving into our lives. I know it's quite easy to get caught up in life, even doing good things, even going about the work that God has asked us to do, and to still become forgetful. Forgetful of who God is, and to become forgetful of all of God's blessings. The truth is that the temptation to forget and to give God thanks and praise is always before us. The Samaritan man in today's gospel lesson knew what it meant to respond to God's mercy and goodness and grace through Jesus. And he models it for us. As he was on his way, doing what Jesus had told him and the others to do, he saw what God had done, and he turned around and gave God thanks and praise. Sisters and brothers, may God heal us from our forgetfulness and our ingratitude. As we are all on our way, doing what Jesus has asked us to do, may we have eyes to see the work of God in and among us. And may our response be that of giving thanks and praise to God at all times and in all places. May we see what God has done and is doing and turn back to God in all areas of our lives and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. be seated. I invite you all to turn in your hymnal to page 227, which is toward the front. 227. And at this time, I'd like to invite Brandon and Samantha Everhart to bring Maddie forward. Maddie's baptismal sponsors are going to be her grandparents, Tim and Sharon Everhart, and Terry and Tammy. Good morning. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Who presents Maddie for baptism? You too. Maddie, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you, Brandon and Samantha, desire to baptize your daughter in Christ Jesus? As you bring your daughter to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with her among God's faithful people, to bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture her in faith and prayer, so that your daughter may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your daughter grow in the Christian faith and life? If so, say we do. Sponsors, grandparents, do you promise to nurture Maddie in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? If so, say we do. People of God, do you promise to support Maddie and pray for her in her new life in Christ? I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Brandon and Samantha, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and placed us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd, to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you washed us from Jesus' wounded side, and on this day, you shower us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, and for all water everywhere. Bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy all who thirst and give us the life that only you can give. To you be given honor and praise through Christ Jesus, our living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. If you would like to lean Maddie over. Going on? Okay. Ready? One, two, three. I baptize you in the name of the Father. I baptize you in the name of the Son. And I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit. There we go. Maddie, you belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Alleluia. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. You cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Maddie with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Maddie, child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Unfortunately, the candle ran out of oil. Maddie, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify our God in heaven. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ, into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God, and bearing God's creative and redeeming love to all the world. Let us welcome Maddie with a round of applause. Maddie, this is your family. We get to be the ones who love you and care for you and watch you grow. We get to be the ones who support you and care for you and pray for you. We get to teach you about how much God loves you. We get to teach you about God's grace and goodness. We get to be the ones who remind you that you are God's beloved daughter. We get to be the ones who love you. Maddie Lynn, child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit and the cross of Christ forever. Amen. reception in the fellowship hall to celebrate and rejoice with Brandon and Samantha at the gift of their daughter and our beloved sister, Maddie. You may be seated.
In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all God's creation. Gracious God, we give you thanks for bishops, pastors, and deacons, including Pastor Anna, Bishop Tim Smith, and Bishop Elizabeth Eaton. Inspire leaders of the church to proclaim your mighty deeds, that your saving faith may be known to all. God of grace, majestic God, we give you thanks for land and water, seed time and harvest. Bring renewal and restoration to places affected by pollution and deforestation. God of grace, mighty God, we give you thanks for those in our community, nation, and the world who work for justice and peace. Guide those who govern to act on behalf of those marginalized by race, ethnicity, or religion. Grace of God. Merciful God, we give you thanks that you hear the cries of those in need. Restore to community those who are stigmatized by illness, feel rejected, or who live in isolation. Send healing to all in need, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, the family of Joe Hedrick, Boyd, Chip, Mike, Scott, Neil, Paul and Carolina, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, faithful God, we give you thanks for the healing ministries of this congregation. Equip those who visit, care, and pray for the sick, giving insight to doctors, nurses, home health aides, and all practitioners of medical arts. God of grace, eternal God, we give you thanks for your faithful people who have gone before us to your glory. Renew our trust in your eternal promises of mercy, redemption, and new life. God of mercy,
hear our
prayers. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing and make us ready to share with all in need through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table. We are all Jesus' guests. Jesus welcomes everyone to come, to eat and be nourished, fed and forgiven. Visitors and children are welcome to receive communion. All who do not receive communion are still welcomed forward to receive a blessing. Just cross your arms over your chest so I'll know. We have gluten-free wafers available for those who are gluten-free. Grape juice in the center of the communion wine trays. Christ invites you to this table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God of the abundant table, you have refreshed us with this meal, with your bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road that we might serve our neighbors with joy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.